The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
What do we know from the Bible about hell? Well, that's what we're going to talk about on today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you for joining us. As you might know, we're currently taking questions from listeners just like you. And if you've got questions that you would like Dr. Bob Wilkin or Sean Lazar to answer, we would invite you to send them to us. You can reach us through email, radio@faithalone.org. Well, let's go right to that discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Well, thanks for tuning into the show, whether you're listening online, through your phone, through your computer, or on the radio on your commute to work. We want to hear where you're from. If you're listening to the radio especially, why don't you just send us an email at radio@faithalone.org and tell us which station you're listening from, so we know where to put our resources, and we'd really appreciate that. Now, we're here to answer some questions about the Bible and theology. Some of them are easy, some of them are hard, and this one's definitely a hard one in the sense that it's a big topic.
All right.
Not necessarily in the sense that the answer is difficult, the question is difficult. This is from Rick, and he says, "Sadly today, many believers refuse to believe in an eternal hell, because they would say, why would a loving God create and enjoy watching those burn in hell forever in pain? So today, many are saying that hell is a grave, or that hell is when God will annihilate and totally destroy the body and soul of the unsaved. So my question is, what is true? What does GES believe what hell is like for the unsaved? And what was Jesus talking about when he mentioned their worm dies not?"
Rick, I would say you're talking about the letters to remember it are ECT, eternal conscious torment. That is widely rejected in many parts of Christianity today. However, it is also widely held in many parts of Christianity today. Now, historically, over the last two millennia, since the time of Christ and the apostles, it's been widely held. Almost everybody held to eternal conscious torment. But in the last several hundred years, other ideas have come up. One you mentioned is annihilationism. Another one is unconscious torment, that people will be tormented forever, but they will not be aware of it. Other people talk about the fact that it will be a spiritual sort of a torment, but not physical. So they'll be upset that they're not in the kingdom, but they won't be feeling any pain.
Right.
It will just be some sort of emotional suffering. There are also people who believe in universalism, that everybody is going to be born again. Or, in some people's view, everyone will eventually come to faith, and so you can be born again after death. They call that post-mortem conversions.
Right.
So there's lots of different ways people approach this. But our position at Grace Evangelical Society is that the unbeliever is eternally tormented and is conscious, is aware of it. I wrote a book called The 10 Most Misunderstood Words in the Bible, and one of the chapters is on hell. The term, when you're talking about the word translated hell, like their worm will not die, etc., that's not the word Hades in Greek. That's the word Gehenna.
And so hell kind of comes from the King James Bible.
Right.
And they used the word hell for a bunch of different words in Hebrew and in Greek.
Right. Hell could be understood as the place of the dead, which is one of the things Rick talks about, that it's the grave or just where the dead go.
Yeah.
Sheol actually was used that way in the Old Testament, because both believers and unbelievers went to Sheol.
Yeah.
And we know that from Luke 16:19-31. Y'all are familiar with the parable of the rich man and Lazarus, or some people call it a parable. I don't think it's a parable. I think it's an actual story of the rich man and Lazarus. They each die. They each go to Sheol or Hades, and they can see each other, but there's a great chasm between them.
Yeah.
The rich man is in torment, and Lazarus is not.
There's like flames, there's fire, and he just wants just a drop of water from Lazarus's finger just to get a little bit of relief.
Right. In my estimation, what that is that's a picture of Hades, or also in the Old Testament it's called Sheol. Is Gehenna the same thing? I don't think so. In my book, The 10 Most Misunderstood Words, I suggest that Gehenna might refer to a garbage dump outside of Jerusalem where they constantly burn trash, and it would be a figure of judgment in this life. And that is a possibility. However, I was talking to you, Sean, about this recently, and you pointed out that some people say that historically not true.
I read a couple articles saying that that's not really based in history. So, but that's my recollection of one article, so I don't know.
Well, as a result of you saying that, I went online and looked. One particular article I found helpful, and it said, too, that it was not true, and that the Valley of Hinnom was used for burning, but not trash. It was used for burning children.
Right, right.
And in the Old Testament, we have examples, sadly, of some of the kings and some of the people who, when they were fearing enemies or fearing disaster, they would sacrifice their children by burning them in the Valley of Hinnom.
Whoa.
Well, that
So anyways, that would have a bad reputation, that place.
Right.
Horrible reputation.
Right. But when it talks about the worm not dying and the flames being everlasting, it suggests to me that this might well refer to the lake of fire.
Okay.
The place where unbelieving dead are now is not the lake of fire. It's Hades or
right.
Sheol. And so it's quite possible that Gehenna refers to the lake of fire. I recently had a series of email conversations with a good friend of Sean and me, Bill Feese. He was arguing that Gehenna probably refers to the lake of fire, and the more I look at it, the more I think that's quite possible.
Yeah. There needs to be rethinking in this area. You said before that it was widely held. Well, yeah, it was widely held by the Roman Catholic Church and the Orthodox Church for all the wrong reasons. For
Correct.
Platonic, weird, traditional reasons, and there's purgatory and the purgation of souls. And it didn't have a whole lot to do with the Bible. It had a lot to do with patristic tradition. And so there is a lot of rethinking that we need to go look at in the text. But it sure doesn't seem like Jesus is warning about people being, like Rick said, just poof, and they're gone forever. Doesn't seem like Jesus is warning about a poof and gone forever type of torment.
No. It seems to me the only fair reading of Scripture is that human beings were created to exist forever. Mm-hmm. And there's no annihilating human beings. Once we receive the breath of life, we are going to exist forever. Now, we can die physically. Each of us may or may not die. If the rapture occurs in our lifetime and we're believers in Jesus Christ, then we won't die.
Yeah.
But if the rapture doesn't occur in our lifetimes, then we're all going to die. The point is, physical death doesn't mean cessation. It simply means that our body is separated from our soul and spirit.
Right.
Only in the future to be reunited in the resurrection. And by the way, my view is that the torment in the lake of fire will be bearable.
Yeah, so what does it mean for it to be bearable, and what would it mean for it to be unbearable?
Well, I've read, and I quote some of these people in 10 Most Misunderstood Words, that some people say the torment in the lake of fire will be worse than any pain experienced in this life.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's nothing in the Bible that says that or even hints at that.
Well, what about the guy who's in flames and all he wants is just a drop of water, just to get a little bit of relief?
Yeah, I do talk about that. And what I suggest is, yes, he's in torment. And in fact, in the book of Revelation, we read about torment as well. However, that same word is used of people who are stung by a scorpion.
Yeah.
And for 6 months, they're going through Bassanizo to be tormented.
Yeah.
Yes, people can be tormented in this life in ways that are similar to the torment forever, but the torment in this life is bearable, and torment after this life, I believe, will be bearable. In terms of the rich man in Luke 16, we're not told. Is that his experience 24/7, 365? We don't know. Is this a good day? Maybe it's worse the rest of the time. Or is this a bad day and it's better most of the time? Does it vary? Maybe his pain is sometimes 8, 9, 10. Other times his pain is only 2, 3, 4.
Yeah.
I don't know. You remember when Jesus talks about the fact that it'll be more tolerable for those in Sodom and Gomorrah
uh-huh.
than the people of Capernaum, because the people in Sodom and Gomorrah rejected a lesser witness
yeah.
than the witness of Jesus. The same thing with the people of Nineveh rising up because they repented at the preaching of Jonah, Matthew 12:41.
Yeah.
And Jesus is a greater prophet than Jonah.
Sure.
So the nation should have repented at his preaching. It seems to me that when Jesus says it'll be more tolerable, that suggests it will be tolerable for all.
But he doesn't really say what that means.
No. That's one of the points I bring out in the book, is that really the Bible never tells us about this pain.
Yeah, we don't really know.
Even the example that we have in Luke 16, it's very indeterminate.
Yeah.
We don't have the kind of details that the medieval theologian, you know, people like Dante in his Inferno.
Sure. I was just talking to a Jewish girl the other day. She's from an Orthodox Jewish background, and she was describing what some of the rabbis, her husband is writing, who's a rabbi and a professor, is writing about all the different views of torment in Judaism. That book should be coming out. Dov Weiss, I think, his name is, I believe. And she was describing what hell is like according to some of the rabbis. And it's pretty horrible. I mean, it is explicit and it is horrible.
Yeah.
And I can't even say what it is online because it's just so horrible the way they described it. And you read about that in the Christian tradition, too. But we don't really know what it's going to be like from the Bible, really.
Well, let me give one more comment. In my view, God does not delight in anyone being tormented. And that's not what God desired for humans.
So why did he create that possibility? And he knowingly that it would be for billions of people.
We really don't know. The Bible doesn't give us an answer. It seems to me it must have been the best of all possible options, or God would have picked a different option, being omniscient.
Mm-hmm.
So since he knows all, he picked that as the best option, and it is the best option. But how that can be, I don't know. But to say that hell is going to be like eternal childbirth or eternal
kidney stones,
to me, that's a position that not only is not supported by the Bible, but it would lead to a view of God that Rick is rejecting. That
right.
Rick is saying, wait a minute, the idea that God would delight in this sort of thing, and he doesn't. I would say, therefore, that the torment people are experiencing is something that's going to be bearable, and I can't answer all your questions about exactly what that looks like. Think it through and study the scriptures on this subject. It's a good issue to study.
Amen.
Thank you guys for that great discussion. Would you like to deepen your understanding of scripture in the Christian life? Well, a great place to start is our website. It's faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. We've got all kinds of free materials on the site available for you. One of those, which is extremely popular, is our magazine, Grace in Focus. It comes out 6 times a year. It's full color, easy to read, and people are really growing who read it. So come and get a subscription at faithalone.org. We would like to thank all of our financial partners who help us keep this show going. All gifts are tax deductible and very much appreciated. If you'd like to find out how you can be a financial partner, visit us at faithalone.org. We are so happy when we hear from listeners just like you. Maybe you've got a question, comment, or feedback. If so, please send us a message. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Tomorrow on the program, we're going to talk about issues having to do with the modern-day Israel. So join us for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The proceeding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.